Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone.
WEBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Shu Bartholomew, and joining me on the Commons today, I'm very pleased and happy to have an old friend back on the air with me, Jan Bergman. If you look at all the states, there are very few of them that have made any proactive movements, and Florida is one such state where you have legislators who understand what's going on, who are willing to work with the homeowners and listen to the homeowners instead of just brushing them aside. And that, ladies and gentlemen, did not happen on its own. That happened because of one person, and that person is our guest today, Jan Bergman. Jan, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, Shu, thank you for having me, but I would like to say one thing. What we're doing here is teamwork. We have a real great team of lots of people who are helping, who are working on it. We have seen it in the town hall meetings, the five town hall meetings we had during the last 15 months. It's a great team, and only as a team you are able to achieve anything.
I absolutely agree with you, but each team needs a good, strong leader, and I think you provide that strength and that leadership. You are someone that everybody looks up to.
Well, I'm trying, but like I said, it depends on the people on the team, because nobody can do it alone.
I absolutely agree with you. No one can do it alone. And I do appreciate the leadership that you are supplying and providing, and you're always there, and you're a good role model.
I am trying, and I think after I moved out of the homeowners association, I have more time to take care of the real problem.
I like that. Don't have to deal with your own problems. Now you're dealing with everybody else's.
Yeah, before you had to fight on two fronts, and you know we Germans made bad experience doing that. So let's make it a one-front battle.
Let's make it a one-front battle. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that you're doing that. There's a lot going on across the country in all walks of life and in all areas, especially in the economy. And that sort of trickled down to associations as well. Not that they needed any more problems, because they were enough of a headache in their own right, but what's going on now, Jan? There's a lot more going on now.
There's a lot going on, but, you know, the economy finally proved what we said all along. Associations are dangerous to the financial welfare of the homeowners.
You mean they don't protect property values?
They definitely don't. They actually do exactly the opposite. And I said that before, and I say it again, and now I really have the proof. I get every day pictures from desperate people, from homeowners, saying, look, this is how we live, and you get pictures, you know, they more show war zones or slums or something like that than community associations. They will tell you that they pay, in the meanwhile, double the monthly dues and get no service whatsoever. The excuse, oh, some of your neighbors don't pay. See, here's the problem. If a few have to pay for all of them, the few will be broke soon as well, and we're already seeing it.
The initial idea was that associations, or that was actually sold in that respect, that associations would provide you with the lifestyle of the rich and the famous for very little money, because if everybody chipped in a little bit, you'd all have swimming pools, you'd all have tennis courts, you'd all have golf courses, you'd all have horse trails, you know, all of these amenities that only the extremely wealthy could afford. But it's not a few dollars, is it?
No, and I mean, don't start me with golf courses, because that's what they really are. They're not courses, they're golf courses. You see whole communities going broke over these golf courses, because it's very easy to explain. They build and build and build, and every little tiny community of 600 and 800 homes got a golf course. You know, who's paying for it? That costs money. And the maintenance cost for golf course has doubled in the last 6 years. You know, the income of the people didn't double. So how they pay? They're fighting huge lawsuits here in Florida over golf courses. In the end, they fall in disrepair, and the owners lost lots of legal fees. It's ridiculous.
I agree. I'm not a big fan of this communal living. I don't think it works. I don't think it ever worked. I don't think it ever will work. I think it just goes against the grain. But, you know, Jan, Florida's a growing state, or was a growing state.
It was a growing state.
You had a lot of development, a lot of new, I hate to call them communities, I don't, because they're not. They're developments, they're neighborhoods, they're condo associations going up all over the place. But with the economy, you're having some serious problems with the developers going belly up, right?
Well, we have more or less problems with everything. It's not just the developers. Because, see, here's the deal. Florida was built like a pyramid system. You know, you always need new people coming in, new people coming in. Florida is a state with the highest age average in the nation. That means a lot of people die. That's just the way the world turns. And last year, for the first time in recent Florida history, we had more people moving out of the state than into the state. And add to that the many people who are dying, then you know why we have here in Florida in the moment an estimated more than 300,000 homes and condominium units empty. I'm talking empty. Nobody living in there.
300,000?
More than 300,000 is the estimate, yes. And that is most likely, since it's done by economists from the government, it is most likely a very low number. You know, they always like to brush it up and make it look good. So if they already admit that more than 300,000 units and homes are empty, then what do you think is really going on? But back to your question. Developers, yes. Developers go bankrupt left and right. You can see them dropping like flies here. I mean, there's not one week where there's no notice in the newspapers that another one of the big developers folded. But here's the problem. The people who already lived and bought with their life savings in these communities are suddenly left there to hold the bag. And that can get very, very expensive. You know, they're signing up for, you know, new communities, $250 a month, just as an example. They're already up to $700. And they still live in the war zone. You know, we had here the big bankruptcy, for example, from Levitt and Son, you know, one of the biggest developers, mm-hmm. which left a lot of communities all over Florida half built, quarter built out, and here comes the deal, and that is where the legislators really failed the people. They allow then that after the developer goes bust, the bank, which holds the mortgages, takes over the remaining lots as that was collateral for the loans. Now, they have nothing faster to do than hire a receiver and having a receiver appointed who then runs the community. But, as we all know, receivers are very, very expensive. So the receiver, who really doesn't want to do any work but cashing in his check on the first of the month, continues to hire the management company, which will charge an arm and a leg as well. So that leaves very, very little money for the actual service people, meaning landscapers, lawnmowers, all these people who should keep the community kind of in shape. And despite the fact that these people pay more and more and more and are more or less tapped out, they don't see anything because these people, these who really do nothing, get all the money they pay, and there's nothing left to do the real work. You know, I just talked this morning with one person who lives here in Orlando in one of these communities. He says, you know, it's ridiculous. It looks bad. If we wouldn't be a community, code enforcement from city or county would long be here and be all over the place. But since we're a community association, nobody cares, and we live.
Are there double standards? Is it because they don't want to touch an association? Is that what's happening?
Right. Well, they say, hey, that's private contract law. You know, the typical excuse why nobody wants to do anything. You know, neither the police nor anybody else. You know, you have a private contract law, you have a private community, you're on your own.
So health hazards, it doesn't matter, huh?
No. We had in two cases you know, green pools, you know, with algae and which are really health hazards because you have mosquitoes breeding in there and everything. You know, don't forget, in Florida it's already pretty hot.
Yeah.
You know, we expect this week and temperatures of 90 degrees.
Wow.
So, you know, the mosquitoes are having a field day. And they say, well, that's your community problem. You know, I've seen communities who filled in their pools with sand.
Sand?
Sand, you know, just in order to not make it any kind of health or other hazard, you know, that somebody falls in.
Oh, really?
Because they don't have the money anymore to hire pool service or whatever.
Yet they're still paying management and legal fees and all of that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, they do. And to be very honestly, in this case, you know, if you see some of these pictures, if these would be, you know, privately owned properties, you know, from investors who would rent that out, these investors would be in jail as a slumlord. That's how some of these communities look. And these people pay mortgage, they pay HOA dues, they pay their property tax, and they are totally unprotected. It is the worst scenario you can really imagine. And I am not kidding. It is getting worse by the day. Water is being turned off because bills are not being paid. The people live worse than in third world country. And all because they're living in a homeowners association.
Wow.
If they would live in a single family home, they would not have this problem, period.
Well, I mean, even single family homes are in associations. And
yeah, but I don't live in a homeowners association.
You don't, yeah, you don't.
And you know, my neighbors can have the problems they want. I mean, not that I wish it for them, but it wouldn't directly concern me.
Right, you don't have to pay for it.
Right, and you know, I tell you the truth, I rather have a garden which is maintained and have next door a rusted through pickup, which barely ever happens. That's just a scare tactic
of some people. I know.
You know, but if I have a problem, I call code enforcement. You know, in a community, you're not. The code enforcement is not sending you letters, because some of your neighbors don't pay, you have to pay a special assessment of $5,000, and we have to raise your monthly dues from $200 to $400. I'm not getting that.
You're lucky.
Yeah, but see, this is where it shows clearly that honest people get really hurt. You know, we have here in Florida a lot of retirees. You know, we have all these fancy laws that supposedly protect the elderly.
Right.
You know, hey, who cares?
Yeah.
It's in the book, it's on paper. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, and the problem is that it's the people who are least able to defend themselves and protect themselves who get targeted in these scams, and that's what they are. They are scams, associations.
They are scams, yes. And see, the problem is these people worked all their life. They worked hard. They saved their money. They came here to Florida. They bought their dream home in the sunshine. And now they're getting ripped off of all their life savings. You know, you have the kids, you know, when they die, the kids don't want to inherit it. They tell the association, keep your stuff. We don't want it. Bye-bye.
Oh, really?
You have these big communities down south, you know, the so-called 55-plus community.
Right.
You know, you were there, Century Village East.
Right.
You were there last year.
Yeah, it's a depressing place.
It has gotten a lot more depressing, and they have the problem that when the parents die, the kids don't want the place.
Well, the kids probably wouldn't even be allowed to live there because of their rules.
Yeah, well, that's another...
That's another problem.
No grandkids allowed.
I know, grandkids allowed. Nobody younger than 55. You've got to be, oh, my God.
Yeah, right. And then, you know, in an economy like this, then you have still these board members who are still dreaming. They have a lifestyle to defend. And, you know, then the board president, tells the one guy who has money, who wants to buy, he says, you know, you obviously don't know, we are a straight Jewish community and we don't like Hispanics. Well, that was one buyer less. You know, these are the things that happen and, you know, the people get hurt. You know, see, if you didn't pay your mortgage and you didn't do all the things you were supposed to do, they're trying to give all kinds of help to these people. You know, they lower the mortgage, you declare bankruptcy, and then the judge tells you, oh, yeah, you know, you pay much too much mortgage, you know, the bank has to lower it. If you're a straightforward, honest person who pays his bills, there's nobody there to help you. You know, and these people really get hurt badly. And I have had people calling me crying, what should we do? You know, and then we still have legislators who are standing there and playing their political games. That is a shame, and that is why nothing works.
That is so damn disgusting. It is unbelievably disgusting. I've seen it happen here. I hear about it in other parts of the country. The politicians are the problem. They need to get out of the way and let people just get on with life. You have a few of them, and you guys have a really good one in Florida, Julio Rabino.
Right, but see, here's the problem. You know, people always consider we live in a democracy, right? Well, not so. You know, here in Florida, you have 120 House representatives, you have 40 senators, right? That's the number, okay?
Right. Okay.
Okay, but that's not the way it works. You know, in the House, for example, you have about 5 people who call the shots. Everybody else has to stand at attention, and they are just there to fill the seats. That's the way it really works. And what people are being shown is just a picture they want them to know. That's it. And the problem is, you know, I can really say, here in Florida, we have the best politicians money can buy. And that's just a fact.
You haven't seen some of the ones we have, Jan. I have to tell you, we have some of the best ones that money can buy. If you see some of the stupid laws, and these are coming to you, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But we're talking to Jan Bergman. Jan is president of the Florida-based Cyber Citizens for Justice, and despite his frustrations and having to deal with a lot of incompetent bozo legislators, he has managed to befriend some good ones. And he has managed to do some really good stuff in Florida. And thank you, Jan. You have a website?
Yes, we have 2 websites, actually.
2 of them?
Yes, we have one which is more or less telling you all the news and what happens and newspaper articles and information from the legislators, which is our regular website, which is www.ccfj.net. And then we have one which is just plainly for educational purposes, but please, for Florida only, because people have to understand, these laws are state laws. I always see it that people come to our website from other states and then are trying to use these statutes and these guidelines and these concepts we are giving them to use in their states, and then are totally disappointed that it doesn't work. So please, please, always consider state law. Look it up in your state. Don't go to information from other states. And that website is ccfjedu.net. So it is very important that the word goes out. The people have to understand what they're dealing with. See, I got into a homeowners association being told, oh, you know, cost you $50, you know, from that money, you know, we maintain the clubhouse and the pool, and, you know, we mow the easement and everything looks nice, you know. Well, I thought, wow, for $50, that's not too bad, you know.
Right.
Hey, you know, and they promised we would get a big playground, and, you know, even if I don't have kids, I very much like kids to be off the street. You know, if they have a playground, they get not run over by a car. Well, we found out the developer used our money to build the playground, and that was in a lot which was designated as a retention pond. You know, these are all the things, you know. I asked the developer if he now, if it rains, if he gives the kids scuba gear, you know. See, this is all ridiculous.
And wait a minute, and the state approved that?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Well, this is Florida.
Oh, boy.
Don't ever forget that, you know.
Don't ever forget it's Florida.
No.
You wouldn't let me, would you?
No, and I wouldn't. And I wouldn't let anybody else forget it, you know. You know as much as many other people that we call it fraud-friendly Florida, because the laws are only there on paper to make it look good. There is absolutely nobody to enforce it. And I always get sick and tired if you hear from the people, oh, don't make too much regulation, you hamper the flow of these associations and all the good
right.
volunteers do and things like that, and we can't have that, and we can't have term limits, and we can't have laws which would punish the bad guys, you know, nobody would volunteer.
The violin. The violin. If I had music, I'd play it.
Right, and you know, and see, there are just a tiny few bad communities. All the others are so good. You know, I told the one guy in Tampa, I said, you know, if everything is so good, I said, you know, did you protest when they passed laws against bank robbers? I said, because there's one thing, there are a hell lot less bank robbers in Florida than their bad community association with bad board members. You know, but he didn't complain that. He voted, the one guy said, yeah, I voted for term limits for the legislators. So I said, what's the difference then? Well, why are you against term limits in homeowners association, but you are for term limits for legislators? I said, what's it? Why? Give me one good reason. Well, they don't have a reason. That's just what they're telling you. And then what they think is right. You know? And that is really the bad thing. You know? And people don't understand it. And many of them, when they finally find out, they're caught and there's nothing they can do.
You know, I want to piggyback on something you just said, Jan, because, you know, you were talking about people getting offended and not wanting laws passed that would actually go after criminals.
Right.
They say that there was an article in the Sun Sentinel. Is it yesterday? It said South Florida SunSentinel.com proposed Florida bill would create a condo police force. There is something, apparently, according to this article that's on the books, that would create some kind of a police force. Do you know anything
right.
about it? What do you want to tell us?
That's in Julio Robina's bill. More or less, what he proposes, and it is really desperately needed, and I'll tell you some examples in a minute. We have here in Florida a so-called condo trust fund, where every condo owner pays $4 into a fund, from which fund is then supposedly being paid, enforcement and so on. There's plenty more money than is needed, so the suggestion is to put some specialized people on the division staff, which is the one supposedly enforcing condo laws, they don't do it, but nevertheless, it's minimum by name so.
Mm-hmm.
And these people should be, you know, accountants. They should have a background as accountants. They should know financials, you know, all the goodies needed to find out the scams in associations. Because one thing is very clear. The regular detectives you have in our law enforcement agencies, whatever, sheriff or whatever there is, they don't have the know-how to see through the scams. They're totally lost. The only cases so far that were successfully prosecuted in Florida were the cases where more or less the owners hired accountants, attorneys, and so on to push it and to more or less serve it to the law enforcement agency on a silver platter. Because otherwise, you know, you see detectives who are good detectives. I'm not arguing this, you know, but they're lost because they're getting suddenly, you know, confronted with budgets of $3 million in a big condo association. And, you know, yeah, how should we find out? You know, well, we had one guy, you know, the management company charged twice the monthly dues because they are in charge of the accounts. You know,
wait, they charge twice a month? What do you mean?
Yeah, they charge their dues twice. You know,
so if you owe $50 a month, they
No. They're management fees, you know. I think it was an $18,000 bill monthly, you know, for the management.
Yeah.
And they charge it twice.
Oh, my God.
You know, and then people complain, and they went to the police, and the guy, the detective said, yeah, but, you know, that may have been a bonus. Why, you know, the suggestion was, you know, why don't you ask the management company why they charge it twice? You know, we are the owners. We are not the ones to explain why it was done. We are the ones telling you it was done. You know, well, I can't do that. Why? There was a telephone bill for, I think, $4,700 or something.
Whoa.
Like that. And you know, the owner said, you know, funny enough, this telephone number, that's one of the emergency phones in an elevator. It doesn't even have a real outside line. So how can we pay for that $4,700? You know, why? The detective says, you know, hey, you tell me. You know, that's not really investigation. You know, you more or less ask the people to explain why the other guys did something wrong. You know, and for that, we really need people who are knowledgeable, because I'm telling you, this is as well one thing that gets out of hand. You know, you know my saying. You know, anybody who robs a bank in Florida must be a total moron. You know, because you rob a bank, FBI, police, everybody is after you. Buy a condo, get elected on the board, which is really easy, embezzle $500,000 and nobody will even ask you where you went with the money.
Yeah.
You know, we have one case, for example, in a condominium at the West Coast, in Charlotte County. So far, estimates, are up to $1.2 million it being embezzled. Okay.
Wow.
Now, but here's the story.
This is from one association?
Yes, that's from, well, it's a master association. You know, I think there are 7 buildings or something like that. I can't tell you that exactly. But it's a master association, and the money was in the hands of a management company, and one of their employees obviously embezzled the money. And according to what I heard, there is sufficient proof to prove it that she cooked the books and took the money. Okay? That was officially in September of last year that they found out that this money is missing, and we're having, with bank statements and everything, the proof that the money really is gone. Right? The management company, they made it easy on themselves. They said, oh, we're so sorry, nothing we can do. We fired this manager. Bye-bye. So don't come for us for anything.
Oh, jeez.
Okay? So then what happened is the owners were asked to pay a special assessment, because now we have to hire an accountant And we have to hire a law firm and to find out what is really missing, how much is really missing. So these old folks, you know, and you're young if you're 80 in that condominium, they were standing there getting hit with special assessment. Their reserve funds were gone. And here comes the attorney, holds a meeting and says, and what I want to tell you is don't speak to the press, don't speak to the public, don't speak to anybody, more or less issued a gag order so that the bad headlines wouldn't reach the press.
Ah.
What the funny thing is, both of these, the management company and the law firm, are very well-noted CAI members.
You know, they'll probably get a gold star now, Jan.
Yes, that's why I said to some of the people I talked to, I said, you know, how can you hire somebody, you know, going after the one who did you wrong, who is part of the same trade organization than the party they're supposed to go after? That doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. They're doing that all over.
And that was in September. Now, the case is that already more than half a year before, some of the people called for an audit because they thought there was something wrong. And, I mean, obviously they were right. So they asked the board to make an audit. It costs money, you know, or useless, and, you know, and why should we, you know. So the board said, okay, to appease you, we appoint a 3-member committee and they will check the books, right? Okay, that was never done. Then in September, finally, it turned out that more than $1 million is missing. And the more they look, the more is missing. Now, here's what happened since September of last year. They had meetings where everybody was told to shut up, don't ask questions. You know, we don't want to hear it. We do our best. The attorneys come to these meetings and tell them exactly the same. Then people asked the police, you know, what have you done? Because the manager, who is the one who was supposedly embezzled all the money, lives in a real nice house and drives a $70,000 SUV. Now, one lady, I think she's 85, she said, why do we have to pay a special assessment and she is allowed to drive around here with the $70,000 SUV paid for with our money?
Yeah, you know, good question.
She has a good point. You know, and guess what? The police department questioned that lady one time in all this time. That's more than half a year now. That is all that happened.
Jan, what exactly, I mean, this bill that's in this article, I don't know what it's going to do. I think it's just for condos because condos pay this extra fee and it's not going to come out of the general taxes. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
What about HOAs?
Well, HOAs here in Florida are the stepchildren of society. You know, people living in the HOAs are only good to pay property taxes and get fleas. That's all the reason why they have them here in Florida. But nevertheless, it would be already a big progress to start this because, honestly, it would finally show how much problems there really are. You wouldn't believe how many problems we get. The police department don't know how to deal with it.
You know, Jan, a few years ago, Julio had introduced legislation that would train law enforcement to investigate allegations of fraud and wrongdoing, embezzlement and all of that. It flew through the state, the Senate, it flew through the House, and then Governor Jeb Bush vetoed it. So
he didn't veto actually that. He vetoed the part that, you know, it was supposedly costing $100,000. He vetoed the money in the budget.
Basically, he vetoed the whole thing. Yes. I mean, he killed the whole thing.
He kill the whole thing, yes.
And
then they found money in Miami-Dade, you know, the state attorney.
And they started a very small pilot project in part of Miami-Dade. How is that working out?
Well, it works out, but it is very tricky. I mean, don't forget one thing. We have a budget crisis, so instead of having sufficient people in the law enforcement agency, we have less. Even if you train them, these people, these detectives, are not accountants, and if they are being faced with 3 years of ledgers and accounting stuff from a big condo community, they're lost. I mean, honestly, and you can train them. They're trained for other things.
Yeah, but the thing is, Jan, you have people who they're called forensic accountants, and these are people whose specialty is looking for the kinds of stuff that you would expect to find in an association that's being fleeced.
Yes, but who pays for it?
It would seem to me that this $4. I mean, you've got an ombudsman that's not really working out very well right now.
No, because they're understaffed, have not a lot of power, and they try, but see, as a division, the DBPR sees them as competition because they were doing lots of good stuff with a few staff members, while the division with lots of staff members got nothing achieved. So they consider them as a competition and are trying to kill that ombudsman's office all the time.
So the ombudsman's hands are tied, but what's happening to all the money? I mean, there are millions of dollars sitting in this fund that has been paid for by the condo owners in addition to their taxes.
In the last 1.5 years, if the numbers are correct, legislators raided this so-called trust fund.
Right.
Trust is long gone here in Florida.
There's no trust.
So call it the fund. They raided it, I think, by estimated $26 million.
Whoa. This was money that was taken from condo owners to protect them, to provide them with the protection that their tax dollars weren't providing them with.
Right.
And then it was fleeced. That fund was raided.
Yes. And they even considered closing down the condo ombudsman's office for budget purposes. And they already said that they will reduce the staff in the division. That leaves more money to raid.
Who's the ombudsman now? Because the first one, Virgil Rizzo, was in the papers and he was doing all kinds of great stuff. Then you had Daniel.
Yeah, but he wasn't wanted because he did great stuff, and the people in charge of Florida don't want anybody there to make great stuff.
I know, and I said that right at the very beginning. We've seen it happen time and time again. Where if you have someone who's actually doing what they're supposed to be doing, they will soon be gone because the industry cannot stand it.
Right, and now we have a so-called interim condo ombudsman who is Colleen Donahue, who was actually hired by Virgil more or less to do the administrative stuff in Tallahassee. She is now officially the condo ombudsman, and the problem is they are now taking more or less orders from the DBPR, and this office was actually created as a counterpart for the DBPR because there were so many problems and so many complaints about the DBPR, so the condo ombudsman should be a place where people could go to and talk and get information. Now more or less the DBPR has taken over and called the shots in the condo ombudsman's office. You know, it is all wrong. And the more you see it, the worse it gets. And now finally, with our bad economy, it all comes to light. And now, in my opinion, the legislators don't know how to handle it, because don't forget, they still have to do what special interests tell them, because they get paid for it. the whole system will just blow up. You know, I tell you, if this year there are no real serious reforms coming out of Tallahassee, we will see a disaster next year, or this year and next year. And if we would get a hurricane, just one little hurricane, you don't want to know what's going to happen. You know, don't forget that condo associations, they don't have insurance. Because funny enough, Florida has a law where the condo association doesn't have to have an insurance, but the single condo owner, he does. Stupid. It's ridiculous.
The condo doesn't have to have insurance?
No. Well, if they don't have, nobody forces them to have it. But what happens if there is a disaster? See, don't forget thing, Shu.
Oh, boy.
In 2004, 2005, condo owners could easily go to their bank and get a line of credit or, you know, the second mortgage, you know, you name it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now. That's how they paid all their special assessments for the high deductibles and for all kinds of extras, underinsured and you name it. Okay, now we write 2009. If we have this year a hurricane, there are associations, they don't have insurance, there are others, they have 5% deductible. That means that people will be left with having to pay special assessments between $10,000 and $20,000. Now comes the point. You can't go to your bank anymore and ask for a line of credit or ask for a second mortgage. So how would they pay this money? Most of them are retired. That's it. Period. So they wouldn't even have the money to rebuild the building. So what you do with an owner's insurance, you know, that replaces your wallpaper in a building that is not there. That is a stupidity.
Wow. Well, when we were down in Florida, when you had the your conference last year, the condominium that we went to that I said was depressing, gated condominium, you had people who came in and said that they actually, their units had burned down and they'd been out of their units for a long time because there was no insurance or do you remember that?
Yes, and the one lady who spoke up at the meeting, she is the president of that building, and she finally got it done this year.
And that was how long that this woman had been out of her unit?
I think it was about 2.5 years, but don't beat me up over it.
I wouldn't beat you up over anything, Jan.
No, it's bad through the telephone, I know, but come down to Florida, it's nice and warm, but that's about the only thing that we have here in Boston.
It's the weather, right? We don't even have that up here. Jan, I've spoken about this a number of times on the air, and I don't think we can talk about it too often. But, you know, you were talking a little bit ago about the legislators, they're the best that can be bought with. We have similar ones here in Virginia. And one of the bills that came up this year and is going to come up all over the country. And from what I understand, they're not even going to try to put it in the property code so that people like you and me don't find it. But what this would do is give the associations, if the association decides it wants more power, it needs to increase assessments, and the governing documents calls for a vote, and they put it to a vote, and the homeowners say, no, we're not going to give you any more money. You've got too much money as it is. In the older ones, for instance, in mine, I live in one that's over 30 years old, and there's a cap on there. They cannot raise the assessments beyond the CPI. So we're protected in that sense. Not like what you have in Florida where they double them every month. But one of the things that they want to do is if the homeowners say no. So they
they go and they try to amend the governing documents, and the homeowners say again, no, we do not want to amend the governing documents. We do not want to give you the power to raise assessments any willy-nilly, anytime, and by however much you decide you want to do this. They have to do it, they have to at least attempt to put it to a vote three times. And if it fails, they can then go to court and get a judge to change the governing documents. This agreement that we talk about and we hear about ad nauseum, you agreed, this is part of the contract, that is going to go bye-bye.
Yeah, but it's only one-sided bye-bye.
It's only, oh, it's everything.
Oh, don't worry if the owners want something. No, 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 you're bound by the contract.
Yeah, because the board members can go to the judge and say, Your Honor, this would be good for the association. You know, it's always the association against the individual. I have it on good authority that it was something that was discussed at the CAI Law Seminar, and they're going to try to get this passed across the country in just about every state.
But here comes the point, Shu. What they're not counting on is the economy. And believe me, we have not seen the worst of it. This is going further down. And we have here a lot of associations going bankrupt. And the people are getting desperate. I am already getting lots of emails and calls. How can we dissolve our association? And I can tell you, if the legislators in Tallahassee don't come up with some serious resolutions that help the owners, you will see owners taking over the association and more or less dismantle it. You know it's possible. Because all you need to do is you take over the board, you fire the manager and the association attorney, then you change you amend the deed restrictions, which you can do by a two-third majority, and you render them more or less totally useless. You know, you can't really dissolve the association, but you can, for example, say annual due is a dollar, you know, and you can just ignore everything else. Take out all the dangerous clauses in the deed restrictions, and then that's it. You know, nobody can do anything. It's totally legal. You know, and if it has to be, that's the way these people have to do it if they want to protect whatever is left of their life savings.
And if anybody says, but what about the common areas? Well, the common areas are not being maintained now anyway. You said that you get pictures that make it look like they're from some third world country.
Yes, that's the case. And, you know, I think you saw the news report from Fox 13 from Tampa yesterday, you know, where they doubled the maintenance dues,
yeah.
Where there is no service whatsoever, you know, one owner said, you know, I haven't seen landscapers or maintenance people here for more than a year. The management company admitted that it has suspended most of the services. The pool is in total disrepair. And then the manager was stated in the video, that is part of living in a community. It's communal living. That is a straight statement from this manager who runs this association.
Yeah, I saw that. That's part of living in a community, Moran said.
Yes.
It's communal living.
Yes, thank you very much for that communal living.
Yeah, I mean, you know. This guy, Rodriguez, said, I haven't seen maintenance or a lawn company in this particular area for months, if not close to a year.
Yes.
Management admits it has suspended most services. Landscaping is seldom. The pool is in complete disrepair.
Yes. And don't forget what he said at the beginning. Fees have more than doubled to $270 a month. Okay? That is to be noted, because, you know, if I pay $20 a month, I can't expect a lot. But if I pay $270 a month, I better see some action here.
It also says that the association's $89,000 in the hole.
Yeah.
But yet they've got a management company.
Sure. I mean, by the way, the manager you saw there on the video is the latest appointment of our governor to the Regulatory CAM Council.
Oh, so we...
Hey, living in Florida is fun, and living in the community association even more.
Jan, we've got just a couple of minutes left, but I just wanted to ask you, where do you see this going? Ultimately, what's going to happen? Is the concept of communal living going to survive, or are we going to scrap it, or is it going to fall under its own weight or blow away?
See, we have problems, and serious problems, and I tell you, lots and lots of people are getting hurt, really hurt, financially hurt. You know, don't forget, we have a bad economy all over the world. You know, you have a bad economy in Europe, but you don't have community associations there. Guess what? These people don't have these problems. You know, they're fighting unemployment, they're fighting, they're not being able to pay certain things, but they're fighting with a good chance. Here, even if you do everything what is required, you still get the shaft.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely do.
You know, and that is what has to stop, and that is what people have to realize, and it has to go back to a system where really the homeowners can depend on themselves. You know, what stupidity is it if you have one water meter for the whole community? You know, that makes you responsible for everybody else's water bills, you know, or bulk cable bills, you know.
Yeah.
This is all, it is a liability because you can never count on it that everybody pays, you know. And then they tell you, yeah, but you know, if you have a bulk cable contract, you save money. No, you don't. You know, a friend of mine I talked to this morning said, you know, if I look at my community association dues, I pay about for 3 cable contracts.
You could do, you know, the money, if you're talking about $270 a month, and people say, oh, well, I don't really want to do yard work, you can hire someone to do it for a heck of a lot less than that.
I have an acre property. My gardener takes $160 a month.
And it takes care of everything.
Yeah. You know, my pool guy takes $85, and I'm all set.
And you don't have to worry about anything else.
And I don't get stupid violation letters in my mailbox.
Yeah.
Well, see, this is the other thing here in Florida. You know, we no liens and foreclosures for fines, right? Good, sounds good. Well, here comes the attorneys with their infinite wisdom, and they change the bylaws, which then say that every homeowner is responsible for the cost if an attorney has to write a letter. So more or less, the attorney can cash in by writing a stupid violation letter and saying, you did this and you did that, and even if it turns out that they are totally wrong, you're still liable for the attorney's fees.
Jan, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck. I hope that you'll come back and tell us what happened in the legislature. I know that'll keep going for a little bit longer.
5 more weeks.
So hopefully there'll be some good stuff coming out of that. And thanks to all of you for joining us. Thank you for joining us today. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. they're full of woes. No pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice for H.O. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home, yet the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.